What's up, everybody? My name is Nick. If you are new here, then what's up? If you are not new here, welcome back. All right, you guys. So we are getting back into another audio commentary. I know that it's been a little bit, but we have had a lot of stuff on the agenda. So I put up a poll, and today's pick was the number one most requested one. So, well, not requested one. This is the number one thing that you guys picked from the poll. Today, we are watching 1998's Urban Legend. Now, this movie is on a variety of different services. I didn't find any that were free to stream, so you might have to rent it if you don't already have a copy. I have the Blu-ray copy of this movie. So, basically, let me just test this out. When you click play, the very first thing that you should see is the horse, the Pegasus thing with the TriStar logo. So if you've never done one of these before, I will explain to you how this works. Very similar to a full-length watch-along reaction. You will get the movie pulled up on your end if you want to follow along. I will do a countdown, 3, 2, 1, play. On play, we both hit play, and then we watch slash, you know, listen along together. So, without further ado, I am going to get this bad boy started. I have the movie pulled up on my end. Like I said, once we hit play, the first thing you should see is the opening studio logo with the horse with the wings. So, I will start the countdown. 3, 2, 1, play. Let's see. All right, now I'm hearing the little sound of the music, and now we've faded in. And now the horse is about to jump out of the clouds. So, it has been a long time since I have seen the TriStar logo. I don't even know. Is TriStar even still a thing? I love this movie so much. This is one of those movies that I mention. I mentioned a bunch on the channel, a bunch on Patreon, and how I have on my phone, I have a whole bunch of different movies that I've ripped the audios from, and I just listen to those sometimes in place of music or podcasts or whatever, and this is one of those movies. I have seen slash listened to this movie like a million times. Also, the cast of this movie is hella stacked. Now, putting aside whatever you think about Jared Leto, you got him, Alicia Witt, Rebecca Gayheart. Oh, Rebecca Gayheart. You have Joshua Jackson. You have Tara Reid. You have, I always forget his name, Lex Luthor from Smallville. And Loretta Devine. Oh, my God. We also cannot forget, oh, Michael Rosenbaum, that was it. We cannot forget Brad Dourif in the opening scene, and Danielle Harris. Ugh. Everybody was up in this movie. I was talking to a friend the other day, telling him that I was going to be recording this. And he was like, yeah, I still need to watch that. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I've only seen the second one. And I was like, no. You need to get it together. Because the first one, I mean, the second one is entertaining. But the first one is really good. Also, this bitch on the radio, not Tara Reid, but whatever the student was that she was talking to, like, that's fucked up. Replace the roommate's birth control with baby aspirin and then feels the need to complain because now she's got to find a new roommate because the roommate got pregnant. I'm pretty sure that, like, her admitting that over the radio would have wound up with her getting expelled from the school because that's bad. That's very bad. Also, you better believe that when I am driving down the street and this song comes on, I am her in this moment. This is exactly what I think of every single time. And I like will like sing it in the same cadence that she does and everything. More than ever. See? I'd be curious to know how long, like, because we saw her pass the first gas station, right? I wonder how long it was since she had seen the last gas station. Because, like, normally if your fuel light turns on, you have, depending on the make of the vehicle, you have at least, like, 10 miles. I think my car, you can drive for, like, 15 to 20 miles once the fuel light comes on. Also, $1.14 for gas. $1.14. Those were the good old days. I'm trying to think of what state. I think it was New Jersey. New Jersey was the first and only time thus far where I've ever went to a gas station where they pump the gas for you. I remember, like, I don't know, the gas station, it, like, looked weird as compared to normal gas stations that I'm used to. And I remember I pulled into it, and they like, came up and knocked on the door. And, like, I flashed back to this movie. I was like, what the fuck is happening? And then I was like, oh, like, this is an actual thing that happens? And they're like, yes. That was very, very weird. But it was nice that, you know, you don't have to get out of the car. I feel like, given his stuttering problem, the fact that he saw Rebecca Gayhart in the back seat of the car. Well, he can't see who it is, but oh yeah, spoiler alert, Rebecca Gayhart's the killer. But the fact that he saw somebody in the back seat of the car and he has his stutter, I feel like I would have, when he went inside, I would have, if I was him, I would have written something on a piece of paper to show her. Because the fact, like, when she gets inside and he kind of, like, reaches for her, I can understand her, like, freaking out. And obviously he couldn't alert her because he has the stutter. And generally with stutters, the more excited or stressed or anxiety-filled that you are, the stutter gets worse. But, I mean, it is a movie. Yeah, he was about to say someone's in the back seat. So, like, she just randomly picked up the phone and threw it at the window, but there was no, like, cord connecting the phone to the wall. Which means that when she walked in there and she just picked up the phone, that the sound of the dial tone must have been just, like, added in post-production, and the phone was not actually connected to anything. Love this. Someone's in the back seat. Brad Dourif is everything. I love the visuals of this, of when they set up in the back seat. Well, shit. Here's what I really want to know. She was actively driving the car, and she just got decapitated. Was the killer not, like, concerned that the fucking car was going to crash with nobody driving it anymore? Like, how did the car stop? Also, I want to know how long that she had been in the back seat like that. Like, how long was she driving that she had to be crouched down like that? Tara Reid. I like Tara Reid. I've always liked Taylor Reid. She gets a bad rap. Say what you want, but the first three Sharknado, especially the like number one and number two, but the first three Sharknado films, I don't care what anybody says, I love them. After part three, they go drastically downhill, but the first three were good. She's such a like romantic, you know? She's such a poet, the way she talks. I have not seen Alicia Witt in a ton of stuff. I think that, so there was something else that I watched recently that had her in it, and I don't remember what it was, but I remember I had seen her in this, obviously. And then I didn't see her again until I started watching The Walking Dead during the pandemic. Like, I had seen the first season back when it first came out because my parents were super into it. But then I decided to, like, go through all of it. I know everybody talks shit about The Walking Dead and blah, blah, blah. But, again, I like things that other people don't like, so I was like, whatever. So I watched almost the entire series. I still have to watch the last season. But it popped up, she's in The Walking Dead in one of the seasons, and it popped up, and I'm like, Alicia Witt? And I was like, why does that sound so familiar? And I was like, it's not that she, like, drastically looks different, but, like, she's not done up the way that she is in this movie. And obviously, like, she's, like, done up to make it look like she was living in a zombie apocalypse, so she looks very different in that show, anyway. That's very Scream, having a party to commemorate a massacre. I wonder what Jared Leto thinks about this movie, looking back. Because, you know, he's all like, I must get all the Oscars and all that jazz. I'm a method actor, blah, blah, blah. Michael Rosenbaum also confused me in this movie because despite the fact that I watched this movie and I watched Smallville, the fact that he didn't have any hair in Smallville also confused me. It was like a Alicia Witt situation because I did not realize it was the same person. But then again, I also did not realize up until, gosh, I don't know, early 20s that it was Rachel McAdams in Mean Girls. Which is crazy because normally I could clock a wig from a mile away. I had no idea that was her. I love this couch, like, sofa thing that they're sitting on. It just screams wealth. Wouldn't she have looked, I mean, I guess it's 1998, so it's not, you know, modern day. Because, like, I don't feel like this would be considered a legend. Like, say, you know, transport this movie to current day, they would have just been able to Google it, and all of this information would have been all over the internet anyway, that the massacre was actual fact, like it actually happened. I used to do Bloody Mary. I was convinced that I was about to get murdered. Well, not murdered. I was a kid, so I just thought that something was going to pop up in the mirror. And it never did, obviously, but if I was these two girls right now, in this situation, even Rebecca Gayhart with her killer ass, I would have been like, what the fuck? It would have been over for me. Oh, Joshua Jackson with the bleach blonde hair. I wonder where this was filmed. This feels like a Canada thing. Also, this guy right here makes me laugh because there's a scene when it happens later on when he's talking to Loretta Devine and he scares her. And she's like, what the fuck? And he's like, boo. It makes me laugh every time. This shit, never. I love Danielle Harris. But the fact that, like, I'm not trying to have sex with somebody else in the room. I'm not trying to be in the room when somebody else is having sex. Some people are into that sort of thing. Not myself. But, like, the fact that Danielle Harris's character is a bitch in this movie. A mega bitch in this movie. Like, if you expect me to fucking sit through this while you're getting railed in the background while I'm trying to sleep with these on-ear headphones, not over-the-ear headphones. Like, they're not all-encompassing noise-canceling. Maybe it would be different if she had, like, a curtain and some noise-canceling headphones. But the bitch did not. She just had those basic late 90s-ass headphones. I'm not trying to listen to you get porked all night. No, thank you. Oh, my God, Robert Englund. Oh, my God, Robert Englund. Mm-hmm. I did, like, because of this scene specifically, I used to do, like, any opportunity in school to do, like, a report about something creepy, I did. And I did a report at one point about urban legends and talked about this very same urban legend. And I was like, yeah, if you guys have seen When a Stranger Calls, that's what that's based on. Same thing with the pop rocks and soda. I've tried that. Can confirm I did not die. An urban legend. That's another way you can make sure that you're synced up, is because whenever I quote the movie, I'm saying it as the characters are saying it. Oh, God, I remember that ringtone that was so big at that point. I remember it, like, when I think of that ringtone, I think of this movie in this scene, and I think of Jurassic Park 3, because I remember whatever that dinosaur was, the big one, Spinosaurus or some shit, it, like, ate somebody with their phone, and whenever, the phone is in the dinosaur's stomach, so whenever the phone rings, like, it alerts you that the dinosaur is near, and it's the same ringtone. I would have dropped that. Do they even still make Pop Rocks? I mean, I'm sure they do. I just haven't seen them in a long time. I don't know who they're talking about, though, this Mikey person. I feel like that's an 80s thing. Like, I remember that. I know that the whole Mikey likes it thing, I feel like that was just a commercial that ran in the 80s. He's such a fool. Joshua Jackson. You watch this movie, though, you gotta, like, give credit to the callbacks from, like Scream 5 with Dylan Minnette's character and the platinum blonde hair being a callback to the late 90s. Because it's, oh my god, that was everywhere. The platinum blonde hair. NSYNC had it. A, I would have been, if I was Robert Englund, I would have been like, whatever mess you just vomited all over the floor, your ass is cleaning that up. But I like when he was like grabbing onto him and then he rolls down the steps, like you can see in the farther away shots that like Robert Englund is well aware that he's faking it because he just sort of shakes his head and walks away. I wonder, because there's just a couple thousand students. I forget what he says it in a second. Like, did Natalie and Michelle Mancini, did they even, like, communicate anymore? I forget the name of this actor. Oh, wait. I think she's about to say it right now. Oh, no. He says it to Alicia Witt, how many students are in the school. But the dean, like, he's not British. It's a fake accent. Yeah, he's a cunt. Anyways, so 3,500 students. Yeah, I feel like she would have definitely. It would have been hard to, like, avoid her and not make it obvious. Well, maybe not. I don't know. That's Charles Lee Ray, not no Michael McDonald. Wait, is it Michael McDonald, the actor? That's the Mad TV guy. That's Stewart. Or Big Mike, Little Mike, depending on the franchise. I love the costume design. Like, I always pay attention to that, and I feel like they, back in the 90s, they paid a little bit more attention to it. But, like, the coloring that they give people. Like, I love that Alicia Witt, because she's got the red hair, they have her in green. They have Rebecca Gayheart in, like, a light blue, trying to make you believe that she's, like, you know, a sympathetic, good character. Tara Reid's in white. Then you got this bitch in black. I ain't mad, though, because black and yellow, those are my two favorite colors. Yeah, she, look at this bitch. Don't let it happen again. Mm-mm. Yeah, but if your ass has been sitting on the fucking computer all day long, sharing is caring, homegirl. Well, I ain't spilling no tears over Michelle, because Michelle Mancini 100% did, you know, commit manslaughter. Well, I wouldn't even call that manslaughter. I would call that, I mean, she wasn't intending to kill the guy, but, like, it wasn't the same sort of accident that one would generally consider an accident. Like, she was fucking with him and, like, being crazy on the road and then caused his death, so. Natalie, I feel like, yes, she was in the car, but it's kind of like a I know what you did last summer situation. Like, she shouldn't have been going along with it, but she admits that, you know, halfway through it, she's like, okay, by the point I was like, maybe we shouldn't be doing this, and then his ass ran off the road. Also, that line that he just said about piercing the dog's nose, like, that shit would not fly today. That's literally, like, animal abuse. Now, this, what's about to happen, this is hilarious to me. This is very meta. This is very Scream. Come on. That's hilarious. I don't think, I've never actually watched Dawson's Creek. I don't think I've ever watched a single episode of Dawson's Creek. I've never watched Dawson's Creek. I've never watched Party of Five. All the little teeny bopper shows back in the 90s that they were all in that were not, like, if it wasn't a horror show like Buffy, I wasn't watching it. But I'd kind of like to go back and watch them now. Did Natalie, like, what did Natalie think that his intentions were? The fact that he goes to, like, kiss her and she punches him. Now, I mean, obviously this is, like, a bigger topic of discussion for another point, but, like, he brought you out to the middle of the fucking woods at night. Did you not think that he was trying to get something to happen? Now, don't get me wrong. People should be allowed to, you know, get in the car and have a conversation with friends and stuff, you know, without thinking that the other person's going to come on to them. But his character, who has done nothing but talk about sex and crack jokes every single second that he's been on screen. Mm-mm-mm. I guess she really actually thought that he was not being himself. Punch him. Bam. I think she's like, one black eye or two? I love that. I love it. She's like, I will clock your ass again. She ain't wrong. She ain't wrong. Now, this is one of those movies that, like, I always kind of come down a lot on certain things in the Scream franchise for being, because it, like, Scream is based so much in reality that there's certain things that are slightly over the top that I'm just like, there's no fucking way. Like, you know, like, people getting shot and stabbed and then just up walking around moments later like nothing happened. But, like, this one, I love this sequence. But I'm also like, how does she not see, like, how did he, okay, so if Rebecca Gayheart is the killer, how exactly did she get Joshua Jackson strung up? Like, a full man of his size, how the fuck did she get him strung up over the car without her seeing this. Like, it's there's no way. It makes for a cool scene, but yeah, there's zero way that that would be possible. Because, like, theoretically, she should have seen him, because he would have already been over the top of the car. The other thing that I think is funny that they do all the time in movies, all the time, is when a guy, like, they're parked somewhere and the guy gets out to go to the bathroom. And they always walk, like, super far into the woods to pee. Like, I never understand why they do. It just seems like movie convenience plot. But, like, yeah, like, see, how the fuck did he get up there without her seeing it? And how did Rebecca Gayheart's tiny ass get him up there? Anyways. But yeah, they always walk like a mile out into the damn woods to take a piss. And I'm just like, you would literally, like, you're in the woods, just open the door and stand next to the car and pee. Damn. Well, he's dead. I learned about this much later on in life, but I feel like I never understood growing up. I was like, why the, well, not even that I didn't understand. I don't think I've just, I never gave it any thought, but the fact that the killer is wearing like this parka ski snow suit or whatever the fuck it is. If I remember correctly, apparently the script was supposed to be in a different, like, it's supposed to be a different location. It was supposed to be set during winter, I believe, which is why the killer would be wearing that. And then for whatever reason, I forget the specifics of it, something switched and they just did not change the outfit. So that's why the killer is wearing that coat. Now, theoretically, even if she had moved the car, so you have the can. You have the can, for one. But for two, you should have the mark on the car or on the tree from where she ran into the tree. And there should also be the rope marks on the branch. Oh my God, I love that couch. Love it. Natalie, you know, how do you hallucinate what just happened last night? You know his ass is dead. What do you mean you made it? Did she say that? No. Although, to be fair, Rebecca Gayheart sort of just echoed what I was saying. Like, what the hell did she think was going to happen when his ass brought her out there? This movie taught me multiple things. I always, without fail, every single time, I get into my car. I check the back seat before even opening the door. That was a Richard Gere reference. I always check the back seat. And then later on, when they talk about the gang high beam initiation, you will never catch my ass warning anybody else on the road. Look, this bit, look, all she said was Tosh. I'm sorry, but if I was Natalie, she would have got, it would have been on and popping up in that room. Anyways, the gang high beam initiation, which is the whole thing where the legend is, all of these urban legends are based in fact at some point. They explain that later on in the movie, so that part is true. But where gangs, as part of an initiation, they would drive down the street with their lights off, and the first person that would flash their lights at them, warning them that their lights were off, they would chase them down the road and ultimately kill them. I don't know the specifics of whether or not it's, you know, true, but I ain't fucking with it. That's just, I mean, I don't have to necessarily believe something to be fact, like Ouija board. I don't know if that's actually going to summon a demon, but you're not going to catch my ass using one. Hail to the no. That's a risk that I am not willing to take, but I don't flash my lights at people. I was in the car with people the other day, and they were like, oh my God, look at this idiot driving without their lights on. And I saw their hand reach for that. I said, don't you dare. I'm not trying to die. Don't do it. No, the books are walking around making noises. Of course someone's there, sis. I love big libraries like this, though. I want that book. Oh, with the pigtails. I love it. But see, like, this is another example. Like, so none of them, aside from, obviously, Natalie, knew Michelle Mancini. But, like, where are the rest of the students? Like, you're telling me that a college of 3,500 students, that, which apparently you have 3,500 students and they don't know or at least have seen the other students all, like, where's everybody in the library? Why is this library empty? There it is. Also, I love the fact that Daniel, she's on goth for goth. We're on similar guard. I would have been up in the chat room like, cringe, cringe. Also, even that comment doesn't make sense. What are you into? Lithium? Lithium is not, like, it's not a party drug. It's literally, let me look this shit up. Lithium is just, like, I think it's an antipsychotic. So it's not like you're, like, popping it. Right, a medicine to control mood disorders such as mania and bipolar. And it says it can also help reduce aggressiveness. Well, the bitch needs to double dose it up then, because she's, ugh. But I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. Maybe people do abuse lithium like that. I just never heard of that, like, being used as a thing to, quote-unquote, get high. Also, Rebecca Gayheart was ballsy. Ballsy. Like, this death scene right now is ballsy. There's definitely a little bit of a risk that that Rebecca clearly likes to have when it comes to murdering these people. The risk of almost getting caught. So was that light for her? Was that light for her side, Natalie's side? Because she clearly just ripped the lights out of the outlets. So maybe, like, it's two separate light things. I'm analyzing the shit out of this movie. Yeah, ballsy. Like what if she actually would have, assuming that the other, what she reached for was the light switch to her side of the bedroom, even if she had, like, what the fuck would you have done if she had turned on the lights and saw your ass? Your whole big game would have been over. Also, you try to tell me that she went to bed with a full face of makeup on and woke up with the makeup not smudged. And look at her hair. Her hair looks the exact same as it did when she went to sleep. She would have woke up looking like she had a bird's nest on her head. Not with those perfect curls. I don't think so. I'm also curious as to how she did not wake up. I mean, I know that she had the headphones on, but, like, that was written directly over her bed. So how the fuck did she get up there to write that on the bed, over the bed, without her, like, being alerted that there was somebody somehow? Was she standing on the mattress with her? Like, did she have a ladder that she somehow had, like, concealed in the room? How the fuck did she do that? But again, makes for a fantastic sequence. Right, because you were cleaning up your murder scene. I had to wash my hands. They were covered in her blood. Look, I love me some Loretta Devine, but the character, both of them, are being really stupid right now. You can't say that. There's no way that they would have been able to say that she killed herself. She clearly was choked to death, so she would have had marks around her neck from being choked out. Like, she would have had bruising, 100%. This is like, I would say, like, this is like, this movie is, also, they would not be wheeling her bloody corpse out like this through all the students. But I would say, like, tone-wise and realism-wise, I would say, like, this is like a combination of, it's like, it's sort of like a Scream where it's somewhat based in reality, but it also has, like, the old school, like, 80s. Slasher where things are a little bit, you know, you have to suspend your disbelief. This kind of, like, sits somewhere in the middle of it. Yeah. Wasn't like it was hard to figure that out. Again, like if this would have taken place today, he would even have had to contact the school. He would have Googled her name, and what happened between with Michelle Mancini and her would have been public record. Well, maybe not. I don't remember. She might mention something later on saying that the records were sealed. Off the record, my ass. I wouldn't trust him. How is it? See, never. Whoever's listening to this, never be that person. If somebody says to you that they think some shit is going down, if they say to you, you know what, I think there's a ghost in this house, I think there's a serial killer coming for me, believe them. Also, considering the Stanley Hall massacre did actually happen within this universe, I find it very unbelievable that they would have allowed the students to be having these anniversary bashes. It's one thing, like, in Scream, when it's just people, you know, running out into a barn or having a house party or something like that, but, like, they have flyers all over the campus for this thing. There's no way that they would allow them to do that. This guy, I need to look the janitor up, because I feel like the janitor was in something else that I've watched before. Let's see. Julian Rich. I like that his name in the credits is Weird Janitor. Yeah, let's see. What the hell else was he in? Urban Legend. Oh, that's why he looks familiar to me. He is Three Finger from the first Urban Legend film. That's wild. Annie was in Saw 4. Damn, that just blew my mind. I knew he looked familiar, other than this movie. I knew I had seen him in something, but I couldn't place him because obviously he's in a whole bunch of makeup in Wrong Turn. Like, look at all this wood. Like, the wood doors. Oh, my God. You know how much money that costs? They got money at this school. But also, like, why does he have that coat? I think he says that he uses it in his classes, but I would have been like, for what, though? What exactly do you use this winter jacket that the killer just so happens to be wearing in your class? For what urban legend? What urban legend wears this fucking coat? I mean, granted, this whole point is moot because Robert Englund is not the killer. Also, it is kind of sad, though, if you think about it, because I believe they said that he was the sole survivor of the Stanley Hall massacre. Imagine surviving a fucking... Well, I mean, Sidney Prescott knows all about this, but, like, imagine surviving the massacre only to have, like, an unrelated massacre happen decades later, and then you end up dying as part of that. It's just, it's funny to me. Okay, so he didn't even mention the damn jacket. It's just funny to me. I feel like the jacket sticks out more because of the fact that they're no longer, it's no longer in a setting, you know, like a winter snow setting. Because later on, when there's the whole pool scene with Rebecca Gayheart, and she thinks that the killer is about to kill Rebecca Gayheart, and the girl is wearing one of the coats, and she takes it off. She just had the bathing suit underneath. I'm like, something's not making sense here. Something's not connecting here. You don't walk around in a bathing suit with a winter jacket on top of you. Like, look at that door. Oh, I just want to go to a place that has doors like that. Where it's not square, it's like the, where it's like oval at the top. Oh, Monty. History. I basically just want to live on like a 90s college murder campus, but like without the murder, you know what I mean? I just love the aesthetic that they used in all these late 90s movies. I wonder if that's actually her swimming. So it said Pendleton Lumberjack. So was, I'm wondering, well, that's definitely her swimming. I wonder if that's supposed to be, I wonder if that's supposed to be like the explanation as to why the axe seems to be around, because they're lumberjacks. Right, this. So, we saw her, everybody walking outside. Like, she walked in from out, not the this person that she's yelling at, but, like, Natalie. She was just outside with Jared Leto. Did you see anybody out there wearing winter jackets? No. Right, so, like, why was this woman not only wearing the jacket, but she has on, like, these, like, the pants and the big boots? Why would she have been wearing that? Also, did they alert, you know, the staff at the school that she just shattered the window or the glass? Look at her. She's like, she's going for that Oscar, trying to pretend like she doesn't know all of this. See, that wouldn't have happened to me either, because ain't nobody driving my car but me. especially like driving my car like you're fucking Vin Diesel. Like, this ain't Fast and the Furious. What the fuck are you doing? I would be afraid, even if I was in the car by myself driving a sedan like this, I would have been afraid to try to do whatever that little, like, brake Yui that she did in the middle of the road. Hell no. I'd have shit myself. My car would have flipped over or something. It's giving Ben Willis. The courts were lenient with you because you were white. Like, let's be realistic. Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it was, you know, a quote-unquote accident, but I guess I could see Natalie Witt's Natalie Witt. Oh my god, I can see Natalie's character getting probation, but not Michelle Mancini. Like, I feel like she would have gotten something else. Because I mean, other than like Natalie saying, "Please stop the car, stop doing this," like, what would she have done? She was driving. She could yank the wheel like she does later on in the movie, end up getting them all killed. So this takes place in Maine. Yeah, I have to look that up afterwards. I don't really remember exactly why it got switched from the... Let me see if I can find this now. Of why there's no snow. It's the weekend. I love that. I say that all the time. So this was filmed in Toronto. Da, da, da. Yeah, I don't see. Yeah, I'll have to look this up. I don't see anything that specifically says on its Wikipedia page anyway. Also this, hell no. There's just something about when in movies when I see people's like Achilles tendons being cut. Ugh, it's horrendous. I love this sequence, though. And I like that it says, "Don't tread on me." Ugh. Damn. That was a baller scene. Baller scene. And he deserved it, though, because he was a douche canoe. Look at that. I love that. I love how that looks. Ugh. Also, like, is it, like, I understand that there's, you know, having this thing to commemorate the massacre or whatever, but, like, why are they all in costumes? Like, he's dressed as Santa. Like, is it supposed to be Halloween? I don't think that's real. I feel like I remembered looking that up after watching this movie to determine if that sound is actually in the song. But no, it is not. Oh, no, it is. I'm looking at it. The song has been subject of a persistent urban legend. Oh, I get it. I get it. Duh. A primal scream is heard in the background fairly early in the song. According to the most common legend, it was the voice of an individual being murdered live while the tape was rolling. Da, da, da. Yeah, it's just literally one of the singers just making a sound. It says, there's a part of the song where there's a breakdown. It's guitars, and it's right before the second verse, and Billy Beck does one of those inhaling-type screeches like Minnie Riperton did to reach her high note or Mariah Carey does to go octaves above. The DJ made this crack, and it swept the country. People were asking us, did you kill this girl in the studio? The band took a vow of silence because you sell more records that way. I mean... I can see why they didn't say anything, because it probably did help it, you know, become more of a thing. But yeah, I like that now. Now that I, in hindsight, that's why they included that, because it's an urban legend. I like that. Also, look how big those fucking things are, full of beer. I feel like I never, at least for me, I never once had any indication that there was anything between Jared Leto and Alicia Witt's character. Characters. Oh my God, wait, this is, we're coming up on the scene that I was talking about, the boo scene. I love that. Boo. But yeah, I never got, like, there was no, I don't know. I don't know if it's just that they don't have any chemistry or anything like that. I just never, there was never any indication to me that Alicia Witt was interested in Jared Leto's character. Damn, she really trashed his office. Like, for what? So I liked the way that they just did that. Like, she's looking for the axe, which I guess, I don't know. The axe makes sense that she would be looking for, considering she was involved in the conversation earlier when they got caught breaking into his office. But, like, when she walks into the room, her face isn't even looking at where the flashlight is aiming, but, like, that flashlight gets aimed towards where the coat was. So it's more of an indicator for the audience that the coat is no longer hanging there. But it's just funny because, like, she's not even actually looking to where she's aiming the flashlight. It's purely for the audience. he would have got punched in the face. Half of these people at the party would have got punched in the face for laughing when I said, there's a killer on campus. Let him die. I mean, to be fair, I know, like, in Scream 2, they tried to allude that Gale could potentially be one of the killers because Randy makes the comment, like, that's what reporters do, Dewey. They stage the news. Isn't it conceivable she's planning her next book? So I can see him pointing the finger at Jared Leto's character, saying, like, you know, you would be a suspect in what you're talking about. Because you're constantly trying to, you know, get that story. This is straight up Scream right here. CC. I would love to know how they, like, if that's an actual person's voice or if that's actually, like, a distorted voice, because he sounds weird. This is another one of those, like, mildly unrealistic death sequences. Not the actual sequence himself, but, like, how he gets killed. Like, obviously, that would kill him. But, like, how would Rebecca Gayheart have known that in this house? Well, no, I take that back. Because she, obviously, the whole thing was with the microwave. So she knew that that would have drawn him towards the microwave. Well, actually, no, because I don't know. He, like, goes into the bathroom and then she follows him into the bathroom and kills him. But, like, she's in the fucking costume. Also, that's disgusting. Right, like this. How would she have known that he was going to go in there? You know what I mean? Like, because he was down, like, he started to come upstairs, and then she said the thing with the microwave, so then he went back downstairs, discovered the dog, which is unacceptable that this bitch... Ugh, this bitch put the fucking, somehow or another, managed to fit a bulldog in the fucking microwave. I have no idea how the dog got in the microwave in the first place. But, like, how would she have known that he would have went back upstairs and went into his bathroom? I don't know. Again, y'all know, I'm always constantly analyzing these things. Hold, please. That's what you gotta do, Loretta. Because you're in a horror movie where every single time in a horror movie they go to call the police, apparently, oh, the lines are busy, or, oh, we don't have enough cars. When has that ever happened in real life? Now this, y'all. This fucking sequence with Tara Reid is everything. It's so good. This entire thing right here. I was gagged in the theater. I was gagged in the theater. Little 7 year... How old was I? 7 years old when I saw this in theaters? Yeah, I'm sick. I'm sick. Yeah, girl, you better run. Yeah, she gets an iconic sequence. Woo! damn. I still get tense watching this sequence. It's so good. I also love the way that that looked, like the reflection of her face inside the coat. Also the way that Natalie's running. Like this building that she's in is a really, the design is really, really cool. Yeah, girl, you just need to drop now. Save your fingers. Yeah, she got hella lucky. Because if you, when she's hanging, if you look at the aerial shot of her, like looking down, she would have, like that, she shouldn't have technically fallen on the thing below it. Like she should have went right down to the ground. So she got lucky with the way she fell. I love an elevator sequence of them, you know, trying to get the elevator door to close before the killer shows up. Like I love like the outfit that she's wearing, the big chunky black boots, the way that the coat is just like hanging below her shoulders. Ooh, I love it. Also, I feel like we need to talk about how excellent the range on whatever her headset is, that she's still connected to fucking live radio. And she's been running all over the station in the elevator. It's 2023 and I get in an elevator and my phone calls drop. And no, I know what you're thinking. I don't have T-Mobile. I love this. Oh, that make, like that, I don't know, that affects me when I hear people like begging for their life like that. Not like please no, don't do it, but like saying like I don't want to die and they're like, I don't know. It's like, ugh. Also, I love this little finger thing. Yeah, the wave, I love it. Now, the only change that I would have made with this, now granted, like, does gore gross me out? Sure, of course. Does gore deter me from watching and enjoying something? No. I would have preferred if later on when Loretta Devine goes to the radio station and finds her body, if they would have actually shown the body. Like, that could have been like the big holy shit moment of the film when they show the body and she's just mangled as shit. There are times where, like, I appreciate the restraint in horror of them not feeling the need to show every single body because, like, it's not always necessary. But, like, you technically don't see Michelle Mancini get decapitated. You don't see the body of Tara Reid. You don't see Robert Englund get killed. I don't know. Maybe they did show it initially. Although, excuse me, to be fair, then I'm thinking, like, I know what you did last summer, which is like, listen, it's, in my opinion, it's one of the best horror movies ever. In that movie, you don't technically see, like, you don't see Helen getting stabbed. It's all, like, flash cuts, and you don't really see what's happening. And sort of the same thing with Ryan Felipe's character. You don't actually see him getting stabbed. You see, it's like shot very specifically. So like, yeah, this. I'm surprised she didn't have her gun, considering she walked right past the room where the window was smashed. So I would say for myself, this is probably the part of the movie that it's not that I don't like it. It's just I feel like it loses a little bit of tension. Because they're obviously trying to paint Jared Leto as potentially being the killer right now. Also, the Be Right Back. Mm-hmm. Technically, he subverted expectations because they say, if you say, I'll be right back in a horror movie, you won't be back. And technically, he does come back. Also, if this was your car, like Jared Leto, if this was your car and you got in it and there was a dead body rotting in the back, which, actually, now that I think about it, I don't know, like, because they both, she just said, it reeks in here. And Natalie was like, yeah. If Wexler was killed only hours before, given horror movie rules, I don't think there wouldn't be a smell. Because he wouldn't have started rotting that fast. Now, in real life, depending on how fast after he died she got the body in the car, then yes, there probably would have been smell because it's... Warning, this is disgusting, but technically, in real life, when you die, you piss and shit yourself because any, like, your body, your muscles are no longer contracting, so everything that's inside just gets released. And obviously, they don't... I can't even, honestly, to think about it, I can't think of a single horror movie off the top of my head that actually displays that correctly. So, like, in real life, that, yeah, the car would have smelled like shit. But not, like, rotting flesh. But also, what I was saying earlier, like, Jared Leto, if the car did smell, wouldn't you have gotten in your, like, I would get in my car, I don't care what was happening, I would get in my car and I'd be like, what the fuck is that smell? And I wouldn't have drove anywhere until I figured out what that, where the smell was coming from. Like, he didn't even seem to be aware of it. I always think to myself, like, would I have helped her? because normally in horror movies, when somebody, like, stops on the side of the road and they're like, oh my God, help me, somebody's tried to kill me, the person driving the car always ends up fucking getting killed. Because by the time the other person gets in the car, the killer pops up. So for myself, I don't know if I would have. I would have been like, sorry, keep running. I'm not trying to die for some fucking stranger. I don't know. Sorry, I'm drinking an energy drink. Well, first of all, you're really fucking creepy, first and foremost. Right. She got the Reddit. Don't fucking do that. Now, here's the real question. Had he stopped the car and let her out of the car... Like, what would have happened then? Like, where would she... Would she have ran off the road? And then Brenda wouldn't have been able to find her, right? Well, shit. Look, I get she's fighting for her life, but the fact that she didn't even check to make sure he was okay. Like, he just tried to save your life, sis. But I guess in this sort of situation, it's every man for themselves, so... So maybe I'm a little bit confused by this because she just went in there to pull the gun out of this case, right? But she already had a gun because when she was exploring Wexler's office, she's pointing the gun. So I don't know. I wonder, is that a blooper? I don't think I've ever noticed that before. So I was, this sequence right here, everything that takes place inside of Stanley Hall, when she actually gets into the building, this scene was actually filmed during the day, hence the light that you see coming in. So it was filmed during the day, and then they just had, like, when she actually gets in there, all the stuff all over the windows is specifically like that to block out the sun. Like, this isn't moonlight, it's actual sunlight coming in through the windows. But they put up the black sheets to create the illusion that it was at night. But yeah, that is sunlight you are looking at. Room 201 and 202. I still know we did last summer. Mm-mm. What, like... What the fuck is that that he was in? It was like a bucket filled with soap bubbles. I don't understand what that was about. Like what are the chains? What the fuck are all those chains for? It's like, I love it because it's so fucking ridiculous and half of it doesn't make any sense. Why are there random, like, medieval chains hanging? Also, now the effect of it looks fantastic with all the candles, but always in movies like this, when I see all these candles lit, they always have like these, like, even in this scene, there's all like the rags hanging over the windows. Like, that's a fire hazard, sis. Now, you may have noticed that Rebecca Gayheart's hair in this scene is very different than the rest of how she looks throughout the rest of the movie. So that's how her hair naturally looks, but they straightened her hair and, like, had it in ponytails and shit throughout the rest of the movie because they thought, during production, they said that if they had her hair be big like that, that they thought it was going to, like, slightly give away the fact that she was the killer. I don't exactly know why. I mean, I guess just giant curly hair is associated with crazy for some reason. But now that she's been, like, revealed as the killer, now her hair is just in its natural form. And I just love it. It's just fucking enormous, and she just looks unhinged. You're fucking crazy. We have one of my favorite lines. The why? 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 I fucking love it. She's like, right, this bitch had a full on fucking presentation. This is kind of similar-ish to I Know What You Did Last Summer, in the sense of, like, because throughout I Know What You Did Last Summer, you think that it's David Egan, but then you find out at the last minute that it was basically somebody just, like, related to somebody else. It wasn't even somebody, you know, that you had, like, an indication. Like, no, you had no way of knowing that it was Rebecca Gayhart. Like, that she was dating the guy that they killed. So what? So somebody, like, rolled up in my house and grabbed one of my kitchen knives and killed somebody. Therefore, I'm at fault because it was my house and it was my fucking kitchen knife. Nah, that bitch was driving the car and she did it. It don't matter who the car was registered to. What is she going to do? Open the door and roll out of the car because she didn't want to be involved? I don't think that's how that works. I mean, at this point, Brenda, you need to get help. She needs more than just help, sis. She needs industrial strength, whatever it is. Also, she needs prison. I mean, she's murdered how many people at this point? Let's go to therapy so you can live a better life. She's going to prison. Not the fucking kidney heist, y'all. Ugh. If you guys have ever seen the second one, Urban Legends Final Cut, it's not a spoiler alert because the shit's been out for like 20 years, so y'all need to watch it. But the opening scene, they do something like with the kidney heist. I just remember there's a part where, like, the chick wakes up in the bathtub full of ice. Kidney's been removed. She tries to escape through the window and the killer comes in and literally, like, sticks his fingers in the incision and then rips her flesh down. I'm like thinking of it, I'm trying not to vomit. It's so fucking gross. Now, with Scream 2, don't get me wrong, I love who the killers ended up being. But one thing I will say is that if Rebecca Gayhart did end up being one of the killers in Scream 2, I would have been okay with it because, like, she's fucking crazy here. And that's the thing. Like, if you're going to be a killer in one of the Scream movies, or, a killer in this sense, like, in one of these types of movies, you got to be able to, like, act your ass off during the big reveal. Like, you need to, like, you have to have a lot of range. And she looks fucking crazy right now, so I approve. You loony psycho bitch. I love it. Not Reese. So the gun that she got out of the gun safe, that one is like silver. But the gun that she had... Also, I don't even know what she just shot just now. But like the gun that she hit when she was in Wexler's office, that was a different gun, I think. So now it brings to the question, is it a blooper or a plot hole or a continuity error that she loves to get the gun? Or did she just randomly, was it just supposed to be a funny thing that she wanted a gun that was similar to Pam Grier or something? Also, how did he know to go there? I guess the same thing with Reese. Like, how did either of them know to go to to Stanley Hall? Look how big her hair is. But you're not that fucking cute. I'm like, hell yeah, bitch. You just tried to kill me. You gotta give this bitch props. The fact that she got shot in, like, the chest and went out, like, a four-story window and somehow managed to get up and get into the back seat of this man's car. It's still attacked. I'm like... And she lives. And she lives. Like her. She got slashed in the stomach and shot, I don't know, somewhere. They didn't indicate where she got shot, so I'm assuming the leg. But she's, like, incapacitated, but Brenda's crazy ass. She's superhuman. I like how they're, like, laughing, like, joking about it now with smiles on their face. And I'm just like, y'all were almost just murdered. All your friends have been killed. Also, this is his car, which, so that means that Robert Englund's body is still in the back seat of the car. There she goes. Look at... Like, how did she even end up in that position? Also, dead bodies don't float like that, as far as I understand. Because, like, if you're swimming in a pool and you hold your breath, you'll float. But if you let your breath go, you would sink to the bottom. Now, I guess I never understood how that works. Because, like, sometimes, like, obviously, like, people discover bodies because they're, like, floating in the water. But, like, she's faced up. Like, she ain't dead. Also, I laugh whenever I see this scene because it's like, this is supposed to take like place chronologically afterwards. But they look far more 90s than the original cast earlier in the movie did. Like, in the pink, her bangs, his hair, those glasses. Fun fact, Brenda is the girl in that Noxzema commercial. She looks snatched with whatever that is tied around her. Oh, she looks snatched. Fabulous. Fabulous. All right, you guys. So that completes Urban Legend. I hope you had a good old time, because I surely did. And yeah, let me know if you guys have any interest in maybe going through the second one. Maybe I could do a full-length reaction to that one. You guys let me know. And I will see you for the next one. Or hear you for the next one, because this is an audio commentary. Bye.